Our scripture reading today is from Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. It's really short this morning. Not like the usual longer ones I like to do. So it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So, as you can probably guess by the verses and the title today, we're going to talk about anger a little bit. Anger be dangerous sometimes. And it's something we all experience. It's a very basic human emotion. And I believe it's one of the hardest emotions to control. Because when you get angry sometimes, you don't know what to do. There's no holding back. Psychologists tell us that anger develops in 5 stages. You have irritation, indignation, wrath, fury, and rage. So I'm going to go over these a little bit before we start. First one's irritation. That's a little bit of mad you get. It's never anything too bad. Something irritates us, someone irritates us. We're a little upset for a little while and then it's over. You don't think any more about it. Usually no actions are taken. Something happens. It keeps going a little bit, grows a little more, it's that indignation. That's when we're really, really irritated. We're really upset. We're fuming on the inside. And there's a good chance we're going to tell somebody about that. We might tell that person exactly how we feel and why we feel that way. The third stage is wrath. That's when we're boiling inside. It's rough. We think about what we can do or say or action to get back at that someone or something for what they've done. And we may do it. There's a good chance. Fourth stage is fury. Fury is that burning point. At that point, you're about to cross the line. You're willing to do almost whatever it takes to get back at that person. And that last one's rage. Rage, you lose all control. You lash out without thinking of themselves, others, or yourself. That's the final stage, and that's the stage we should always avoid. But do you realize how many times we see rage even in our daily lives? See anger. See this rage specifically. You turn on the news. You see there's fights and shootings and people running other people down. You see violence everywhere, across TV and talking to people in our daily lives. Anger, it's a common emotion. And a lot of times you don't think anything about it. It's something that happens to everybody and it's something that passes. I want to talk a little bit more about anger today. Oops, sorry about that. We look at Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. The Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. I read this passage. I've read it a few times. And it makes me think a little bit. It says, in your anger, do not sin. So does that mean there's anger that is not sin? Does that mean sometimes anger could be okay? But anger is not just this bad thing that it's made out to be. Everybody looks down on it. Anger, you shouldn't be that way. You should never be angry. You should always be happy, smiling. But maybe anger is okay sometimes. Maybe anger isn't always a sin. For example, we can see this in the Bible. God tells us to love our neighbor, to love our enemies, but not to love the world or anything in the world. That's sort of like the anger thing. We're told to be happy and to love everybody. But he's also saying that there's a side to that that is acceptable not to love, to be angry at, to look down upon almost. So I want to try to show you today what kind of anger is acceptable, what kind of anger is not acceptable, and how that really can be beneficial to our lives. So first, I want to look at the anger that I believe God calls to be acceptable. In the Bible, I want to talk about 2 types of anger, and there's many more. I want to talk about the 2 major types that I see, especially when I read the Old Testament a little bit, that are presented as acceptable. With the first one, it's acceptable to be angry when God's word and God's will is being violated by others. For example, Moses, when he got the 10 Commandments, he went to the top of Mount Sinai. He received the 10 commandments on the tablets. And what did he see when he came down from that mountain after those 40 days and nights? He saw all the nation of Israel, who were just led out of Egypt by God with these great signs and great wonders, suddenly turn their back on God and worship a golden calf they built. And how did Moses react? Moses was angry. He was very, very mad. And God was very mad at this. And for God to be mad, and I believe for Moses to be mad, he was just a man. Moses was a very holy man. That's saying that anger could be okay in that scenario. Look at King Solomon. Solomon had everything he ever wanted. He had all the wisdom. He had all the possessions he could ever think of. And all the people around him that loved him and he loved. But what happened to Solomon? You see, he allowed his wives to pull him away from God toward other gods. In 1 Kings 11:9, it says the result of that was God, the Lord, became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. The Bible, it shows us in this time that God knows when to draw the line. God knows when to judge, when to draw the line, when to be angry, and what is an acceptable anger. And I think that's a lesson to us today. If God's word and God's will is being violated, there's something to be angry about. There's a line to be drawn, and we don't cross the line. But there is acceptable anger in those times. Secondly, whenever the rights of any person, not just God's people, but anybody, because everybody's God's people, are taken away from them, I believe the anger is justified. King Saul, he had just been crowned king of all of Israel when he received word that an enemy was besieging the city of Jabesh Gilead and had bragged that even if the city surrendered, they would gouge out the right eye of every man in the city. And it says in 1 Samuel 11:6, when Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. God came upon him, the Spirit of God, and with that power, he burned with anger. God gave him that passion. God gave him that willingness to be angry, to see the wrong that was made, to see this army that was doing terrible things to his people, and he became angry. Now, I'm not saying this to say go out and be angry at everybody that's doing wrong. Go out and fight them or yell at them or whatever it is to reach that final stage, that wrath and that rage. I'm saying this is anger as to lead you, to drive you to make a change. To make a change in others' lives. To make a change in your own life. And I believe that is acceptable anger. Those times when you say enough is enough. Those times when you stand up for what is right. And you may get angry. You may be mad at something. But through that anger, you can lead others, lead yourself, and lead a change. And I believe that kind of anger is acceptable. So now I want to look at some unacceptable anger. Anger that is unacceptable, it's anger that arises just out of the wrong motives. That's what I believe. Anger is unacceptable, for one, when you become jealous of somebody else or something else. We look at the story of the prodigal son. And we always talk about the prodigal son, and just about the prodigal son, and just about the father. The father who brought the son back in, who loved him no matter the sins he had against him, all the money he wasted, and the life he squandered. But I think we need to look at his brother who chose not to celebrate at the return of the prodigal son. And the scripture said he was angry. He was burning with rage at the fact that his father allowed this son to come back, threw him a feast, and said, "Don't worry about it. Whatever's happened, happened." But why was this brother angry? It's because he was jealous. He actually went to his father and said, "Look at all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, never once. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours has squandered your property, comes home, you kill the fattened cow for him." This brother, he was jealous. He was angry and jealous. And I believe that is unacceptable type of anger. That's a terrible motive for anger. The second one, the second reason or time anger is unacceptable is when you become angry because things just don't go the way you want them to go. And I know that happens to me all the time. I worked all last night and nothing worked the way I wanted it to. And I was not very happy about it. I'll tell you that right now. Was not very happy. But that's the wrong time to be angry. The prophet Jonah, he was a great example of this. God said, go to Nineveh. Tell them, preach to them, preach repentance. Tell them about forgiveness that I'm willing to offer. Lead a change in their lives. And we all know the story of Jonah. He didn't want to go. He got swallowed up. But he ended up going. He preached. He wasn't very happy about it, but he preached. And everybody he heard him talk repented on the spot. Now, God, he said, I will forgive them if they repent. And then they repented. And Jonah really wasn't happy about that. How could these people that were so against God, that pagan ways, the deepest level they can go, say, we repent, and all of a sudden God forgive them? Jonah didn't like that. Things were not going the way he wanted. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to be forgiven. He believed they should have been punished. And he was mad about it. So I believe that kind of anger is also unacceptable. A third reason for unacceptable anger is when you get angry because you don't know all the facts. Something's missing, something's not there, and it makes you mad. There's a story of a preacher who once made a reservation at this nice restaurant for a party of 8 people. When they got to the restaurant, the waiter, he couldn't find the reservation. It wasn't in the system. They couldn't find it wrote down anywhere. It just wasn't there. So the preacher, he told him, he said, I called earlier. I made reservations for 7 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. And that the manager on the phone assured me there'd be no problems. There'd be nothing wrong. We will get your seats. It'll be perfect. And what's more, this preacher, his parents were from out of town. And this was a big special occasion. And in this special occasion, parents out of town, everybody's tired. Things weren't going their way. This preacher, he got a little upset. But the waiter told him, this said 30, 45 minutes. If you guys are willing to wait, we can get you a table by then. So they waited. When they finally got seated, their table was right next to the kitchen. All the waiters were running around. It was very noisy. And nothing had gone the way he had planned for this special occasion. Whether, I don't know exactly what it was. Something very special, though. So when he got home, he was irritated. Way more than irritated. He decided to call the restaurant manager. He was going to complain. So he got his phone book out and he looked up the number they had circled, only to find that he hadn't called that restaurant at all. He had called another one with the same name, same restaurant chain, other side of town. It was his mistake, not theirs. So sometimes we get angry because of our hectic schedules. We get angry because things just don't go the way we planned. And we make mistakes and get angry at others about it. And that kind of anger is not acceptable, I believe. That kind of anger leads to sin. It leads down the path towards rage and wrath. So in that, we see some ways that anger is justifiable, it's acceptable. And then we see ways that it's not justifiable, that it's not acceptable. So in that, how can we control our anger? What does the Bible tell us about how to be angry? And what's the right path to take when you are? So again, we look back at our scripture. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I believe the scripture hits the nail right on the head. If you go to bed angry, it keeps growing and growing and grows way out of proportion. You wake up the next morning. It's something else as soon as you remember it. And that leads us to what Paul said next. He says, don't give the devil an opportunity. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our lives, he wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be just like him. So he begins to refine the rough edges and make our lives more like him. But when we give the devil an opportunity, we go to sleep mad, and when we do all these things, the devil does the opposite. He tries to make us more and more like himself. So by going to bed angry, our anger still grows, and we give the devil, according to Paul here, an opportunity to grow in our lives, which is the opposite of what we should definitely be doing. So Paul, he's saying that there's anger that is acceptable. But follow those guidelines. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let it grow out of proportion and let the devil come in your life and through that. Now, in saying all this, I want to offer you three suggestions this morning. Just three. The first one, don't let the minor things become major. Don't let the little things get to you. Thomas Jefferson once said, if you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. If you're very angry, count to 100. Mark Twain, he read this 75 years later. He said, if you're angry, count to 4. If you're very angry, swear. Now, I'm not saying to swear. I'm not saying that. But I think the point here is, don't let the little things get to you. And if they do get to you, knock it off your shoulder. Do what it is that makes you calm. If it is to swear, say it under your breath. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just to walk away and sit by yourself, do that. Don't let the little things become major. There are many people out there that are looking for things to get angry about, and they'll find it. And there are plenty of things that make us angry and make us look for them. But don't give it a chance to grow into something bigger. And if you're walking around with the peace of Christ within you, there shouldn't be a reason to look for anger. You should always be looking for joy. You should always be looking for a way to make those minor irritations something great. Something to grow in the glory of God and the kingdom. You say, wow, this didn't work out. Take a step back and say, look, this did though. Maybe I didn't get that reservation at the restaurant. Maybe it didn't go exactly as planned. But I still got to spend time with my family in the preacher situation. Second suggestion, be careful about the kind of people with whom you associate. Proverbs 22:24-25 warns us, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. If we spend our time around a lot of people with negative thinkers, we tend to become negative thinkers. If we spend time a lot with people who are anger-prone, we tend to become angry quick, become angry as our first option. Now, I'm not saying you have the angry friend, don't be their friend anymore. You have that unreasonable person in your life, don't stop hanging out with them. Don't stop being their friends. But I think don't become that way. Realize that they are angry. That's their first option. And think to yourself, am I becoming that way? And look at your life and try to avoid that. The third one, be careful of what you say. Always be careful of what you say. The Bible warns us not to use our tongue until we think about what we're going to say first. An American journalist once said, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you will ever regret. I like that one. That's an angry tongue, it gets sharper with every use. The more we use it, the sharper it gets, and it can cut into the lives of others and even into our own lives. So always think before you speak. The Bible says, bridle your tongue. If it's not bridled, it may run wild. So we need to commit our lives to Jesus. We need to allow him to work through us to help control our temperaments, to help grow our self-control and our discipline, so we can live a life of joy and peace rather than fury and rage. Colossians says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God will grant us all the fruits of the Spirit. He will grant us the power as long as we commit ourselves to him. In committing ourselves, we commit our tongues, our minds, our hearts, our emotions, every part of us to him. And through that, God will allow the healthy anger, the acceptable anger. He will promote that in ways that are beneficial to others, yourself, and to the kingdom. But at the same time, he will help you avoid the anger that will cause you to stumble, that will cause you to fall, that will cut into others' lives and cut into your own lives. So this morning, there may be people who are angry. There may be people who are angry with others, with something in their lives. Maybe angry with God. Whatever it is, that's not what matters. Focus on the joy. Don't let the little things get to you. Pray to God that this anger you have towards whatever it is can be changed to peace and can be changed to joy. And I pray that most of all, that those who are outside of Christ, all those in the world that are outside of Christ, that they'll realize this healthy anger is the right approach. They will realize this anger towards evil, to ways that are unjust to others. They'll be angry with all of this and realize, wow, there's a religion. There's a man out there. There's a man that lives within us that will give us what we need to get through with peace, who wants to save us and wash us clean, forgive us, and grant us eternal life, to grant us peace and the fruit of the spirits, so that we may live a great life through him. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And help us, Lord, to control our anger, to use it in ways that are beneficial instead of ways that are destructive. Lord, help us to think before we speak and think before we act, to look back and realize the greatness in our lives, even in the times that we stumble and fall, there is always a greatness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.